Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, alongside Maddie Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. Common fans, go to cpbeef.com right now. Look around on the website. Look at all the delicious steaks, the ribeyes, the fillets, the New York strips. They've got everything you could want or need. They've got ground beef for your burgers, the beef ribs, the beef bacon. There's so much beef. Go to cpbeef.com, pick one of everything, at least one of everything. And then when you go to check out, use the promo code COMMONFAN, all one word, COMMONFAN. That'll get you 25% off any item that's not already on special or discounted for some reason. So, certified Piedmontese, premium Nebraska beef, raised and grazed in the beautiful Sand Hills region of the state. If you have trouble online, you don't like the interwebs, go to your local Mercado butcher shop. There's one in Lincoln. There's one in Omaha. You can get all the fresh cuts, all the same stuff, plus hot food for your lunch or your dinner. They've got all kinds of great stuff. But truly, everyone should check out cpbeef.com. Load up on your certified Piedmontese beef and use the promo code COMMONFAN for 25% off. Certified Piedmontese, powering the Husker football team and powering the Common Fan Podcast. Friend of the program, Evan Bland from the Omaha World Herald is back for another edition of View from the Bland Stands. Evan, I'm glad you could join us tonight. You're here for a very special occasion.
Let's hear it.
Well, I'm surprised you didn't know this already, but it's fine. No big deal. This week, so we're recording this on the evening of October 8th. Actually, as we're recording, the Dodgers and Padres are in the middle of a wild playoff game. It's been very fun to watch so far. And it's going to be released on Wednesday, October 9th. And so it's not quite exact, but October 10th will be the 1 year anniversary of the first ever Common Fan Podcast episode. So this will be episode number 73. We've done 73 episodes in a year. I don't know about you guys. This has just been thoroughly enjoyable, satisfying, fulfilling. It's been a ton of fun. And more than anything, we just want to thank everybody who tunes in, everybody who listens, everybody who's checked us out. This has been a riot. We're three buddies from high school who had zero following whatsoever. And it's been fun to try to put this out there into the world and be some small part of the sort of Nebraska football
ecosystem.
Yeah, touché. Exactly.
And thanks to everybody that's participated in the show, yourself included, Evan.
Yeah.
We have the followers we have without you guys. So thank you very much.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, you guys do a great job. I know we started talking when you were doing the Reckoning project, and I know that got a lot of interest in the summer. And it's an honor to be hanging out. And 1 year, like, would you guys say that it has enhanced your fan experience having done this, or in what ways has it sort of maybe added a different dimension to kind of how you consume Husker football?
I think Jeff now watches the games.
So Jeff actually, yeah,
it's a good start.
Jeff actually watches the games.
I was gonna say, like, I actually pay attention and take notes. I know players' names now, which is just unfathomable to me. Going 1 year back,
you're the real common fan here, Jeff.
Jeff is the common fan representative. Yeah,
I consider myself just to be a rational human being. It's really what I am.
What the hell are you trying to say, man?
Nothing. Shut your mouth. Nothing.
Yeah.
It speaks for itself, Matty-O.
Evan, to answer your question, I have watched it with a little bit different eye. 'Cause just kind of like Jeff said, like I'm watching it instead of just watching it, taking it in and enjoying it, I'm watching for like key moments in the game, the biggest plays in the game, or trying to either write those down on my phone in my notes app or just put them in the back of the brain
Same.
for later because we're gonna have to talk about it. So yeah, I think I've paid I'm always I try not to ever miss a play prior to this, but I think just a little bit more locked in now, and I enjoy it.
Yeah, I would say one thing I was very wary of was I don't want this to become, this thing is supposed to be fun, and I don't want it to become a source of stress or a have a job-like feeling, and I don't want it to impede on my enjoyment of this thing that I love, this thing that we all love, Nebraska football. And I have found, like, I think, we found a good, we've struck a good balance where we are the common fans and we're providing a common fan perspective. So we don't have to do this professionally. We are able to provide the fan perspective. And I think that's really helped, like, continue that enjoyment. The only, I find it, like, because I've been doing a lot of writing this season as well, which we have, that's fairly new. And I find both of those things, like, they take up a lot of time. I don't mind that though. Again, it's all like it's an outlet that I enjoy. But it seems to be making the season go by a little bit faster. And I'm not sure if I like that.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
agree. I'm not
I'm
into
not.
that part. Not into that part at all.
I'm not sure how to make that slow down, but it does seem to be making the season go by faster.
Yeah,
That's one
touche.
difference. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like when I'm covering a game, it's a different experience than just watching a game that's, on a major network or whatever. Like, and it's, because like I'm trying to observe the small detail stuff, the big picture stuff. And so like sometimes it doesn't even occur to me really. Like for example, if there was a really bad play call, an offensive pass interference call that like really was a phantom call. Like to me, it's like, well, it happened. So like, what does this mean? What became of it? That sort of thing. So like, it is a different thing. And I will say like doing it that way, and maybe you guys are getting a sense of this too. Like you kind of get a little bit of a feel for like what it would be like on a much smaller scale for a coach who gets so locked in on the next play, who gets locked in on personnel stuff that like sometimes it's hard to zoom out and be like, oh, I need to worry about the clock, and oh, I need to check this personnel grouping, and oh, we didn't work on that play this week. Like there's so many things that you're working through in real time. I feel it again on a small scale in the press box. I have a ton of respect for the coaches that do it at a really elite level, and they're able to think big picture and really minute details at the same time.
100%.
Well,
I mean,
it doesn't, it just made me realize that all the screaming at the TV and yelling about the bad play calling is, it's only further enhanced my belief that I'm correct in that. So, I mean,
yeah.
these coaches are fine, but they need to call better plays most of the time.
I always thought I really like, especially in the Frost era, and not to digress too much, but I always really felt like they needed like some guy, just like Joe, average Husker fan, a common fan, to be there who'd be like, really? Like, do you want to do this? Because they sometimes I feel like they get so far in their own heads about trying to find an edge
Or their
or.
own play sheet.
Yeah, exactly. Like sometimes you just need someone to be like, does this make sense here? Like let's just think about that at a real basic level. So like I think there's a ton to be said for that. And if you can navigate both of those worlds, like you're in a good spot.
No doubt. No doubt. Well, we got a lot to get to. One other thing, common fans, very excited. We announced this at the end of the last show. We're going to keep bringing it up until it happens, but we want to start talking about at the beginning of the show when people are listening. People are always listening to the end, by the way. First ever common fan tailgate, Saturday, November 2nd in Lincoln for the UCLA game. We don't have a kickoff time for that game yet. More details will be forthcoming, but it will be in Lot 10. Lot 10, you can Google it and find a map of the parking situation. It's over there. I think it's on W between 16th and 18th,
That sounds
somewhere
right.
around there. More information will be forthcoming, but this is an open invitation to common fan listeners, and we're going to try to have some friends of the program, people who have been on or people who have just been great supporters and listeners and contributed in different ways, and just celebrate Nebraska football because that's what this whole Just continue with the theme of the night. That's what this whole podcast has been about from day one. And that's what the tailgate's going to be about as well. So we'd love to see you there. UCLA game, November 2nd. Mark it down. Jeff, write it down on your paper calendar. Everybody.
Got it right here. I got it right here.
Everybody mark it down.
Come on.
Because it's going to be a lot of fun. All right, man. Evan, Huskers beat. I don't want to spend too much time on Rutgers because everybody's been talking about Rutgers a lot. But we win 14-7, never really in doubt, right? Just had that thing locked up from the word go, and no big deal, right?
I mean, Nebraska fans are very comfortable in one score situations. Things tend to go well. No, it's there were some tense moments there in the fourth quarter. I've heard it a lot at Memorial Stadium in the last 7 years. Kind of that groan, that kind of anxious groan, the kind of the buzzing of the crowd. And but they hold on, and Brian Buscini plays the role of unlikely hero with a long punt that sets up Rutgers with a long field late. And he had the fake pass, one of the better arms on the team, as it turns out, that killed a few more minutes of clock. And I think, a freshman game from Dylan Raiola. It was probably his least impressive game. But to me, the takeaway was not, wow, he played poorly. It was, if this is his floor in terms of he had his interception, a few quick second half drives, but took care of the ball, like, you can handle that. I think that they gave Nebraska a chance. You leaned on the defense. Special teams had two more blocked punts, but like I said, was helpful in other areas. So Rutgers is not a bad team. That's a top half of the Big Ten sort of school. They're going to win some games going forward. Greg Schiano is a great defensive coach, and Nebraska found a way. So I feel like the last 3 weeks, especially, there have been tangible little growth moments that they've achieved. And I certainly beating Rutgers, winning that one score game, was another step for this team. And you look at the last 6 or 7 years, rarely does Nebraska go into a bye off of a win with good vibes. They did last year against Illinois. Otherwise, you got to go back to, I think, 2016. The last time they'd done it, they lost 8 in a row. And a lot of excitement for what the second half of the season could bring.
I said on our last episode, I'm taking the Evan Bland approach of the silver linings and looking at the positives rather than when you said it. I had an epiphany after you said that. I'm not going to lie. I mean, with the Purdue game, I was kind of down in the dumps that they kind of slept well through the first half. But then you made the point that old Husker teams of the past usually don't find a way to bounce back after something like that. And they did in the second half, recovered, won that game dominantly. And so it was refreshing. I looked at it the same way you did, that, hey, it was close, it was ugly, but dang it, it was a one score game and the defense stepped up. And usually in years past, when we had an issue like that in a one score game and they score, usually we're demoralized and we would have let them run down the field to tie that game in a normal situation, where that wasn't the case this time. So it was great. I agree with you. It was just nice to see them kind of build and grow week after week.
Did you guys feel in the moment kind of some of that PTSD a little bit? Like, did you feel like they were going to blow it, or did you
yes.
feel like they would hang on?
Yeah, I felt like they were going to blow it. I'm going
okay.
to admit it.
All
right.
So
I didn't.
I was scared to death.
I don't know why, but I felt in I was at the game. I felt like in the stadium, usually, like, Illinois, absolutely. I felt it through the whole stadium, especially when Illinois tied it at 24. But Rutgers kept getting down into the red zone, and it just, for some reason, felt like we're not going to let them score. This, I felt like the defense was just locked in, and they were on one on Saturday. And I don't know. I just never really felt the same nervous kind of pit in the stomach as I have for the last 7 years. So
I feel the same way. I think I was really frustrated when we had, I mean, how many times have we seen this team, going back to Riley and Frost, how many times have we had the ball with 4 minutes or less and a lead, and all we had to do was get 1 to 3 first downs,
For sure. Yeah.
And have been unable to do it. It's so frustrating. And so that was really frustrating. But after Buscini's punt, I was like, there's no way. Like, there's no way that this offense can move the ball, especially the way Cadillac Manis was playing. There's just no way. So I felt pretty good about it. It was so awesome the way it ended with the James Williams sack and just like
Yeah.
really, really cool. And so, I will. Well, sorry. Do you guys you want to finish up on anything on that? Sorry. Go
Yeah, I don't believe either of you guys. I just want to make that abundantly clear
ahead.
right now.
It's your choice, Jeff. I've been friends for 30 years. You just go ahead and don't believe me.
I can read you like a book. I'm on to you.
I do think that is a good Rutgers team. I think they're gonna be in like the 7-9 win range. They're gonna go to a bowl game. This is one of this probably Schiano's best team, at least since he's been
Agreed.
back second tenure as head coach. So that's a good win for the Huskers, and no one should scoff
Yeah.
at a 14
No.
7 win over that
No.
team. What would be nice, since we've got a lot to get to, we'll go ahead and we'll segue here. The Huskers, they have had growing moments. They are showing signs of learning how to win. And that is not like that's not insignificant. That is a positive development. What would be nice as a next step in this process would be if they could put four quarters together against Indiana
Could
and
you imagine?
play really well in how we've seen for four consecutive quarters against what somehow, some way has become a really good Indiana team.
I thought Matt Rhule had a good analogy this week. He talked on Monday, and not a lot of coaches incidentally talk on their team's bye week, but he kind of gave just a little mid-season state of the program sort of thing. And he compared some of the things that Nebraska's gone through to like a whack-a-mole game. So like Nebraska struggles with tackling against Northern Iowa and Illinois. So let's address that. Or last year it was Nebraska struggles with fumbling and giveaways. Let's address that. And so now it's been special teams, and that's kind of the next thing they've needed to figure out. And it's been how do you play a full game offensively and get the run game going? So like they're just kind of assessing issues, figuring them out, hitting them, and then something else pops up and you hit that. But they're doing it while they're winning games and they're 5-1. And if not for a bunch of silly personal fouls against Illinois, they very well could be 6-0 at this point. And so, like, you talk about thinking optimistically, like, again, they're 5-1, they're on the fringe of the top 25, and special teams has yet to really be an asset. I mean, we saw it for moments in the Rutgers game. The defense has
It's
been real.
been a detriment. It's been a detriment. Sorry to interrupt.
The defense has been outstanding, but I think there's still another level that they could achieve in terms of takeaways. And then the offense, we're seeing a freshman quarterback grow in real time. Matt Rhule identified the running game as an issue. He wants that to be more explosive. He still feels like a lot of these gains that have gone for 5 or 6 should go for 25 if they can make a guy miss or read the blocks correctly. So I think there's, you talk about the difficulty in the second half ratcheting up, and it absolutely does. But I think Nebraska has the realistic ability to match that or to kind of rise with the schedule if it does. Play a little bit more of a complete game. Play a little bit more consistently. You're not saying to go out there and be something that you're not. It's just do what you've done for 2 quarters and do it for 3.5 or do it for 4. And I think they can be in most every game here down the stretch.
So you're predicting a win over Ohio State. Is that what I just heard?
I'm predicting it not to be 62-3 or 56-14.
Okay,
Don't you
okay.
try
We'll
and
take
steal
that.
my
We'll take
shine.
that. Okay,
Don't
there you
you
go.
try and
Okay.
steal my shine, Evan. Don't you do it. Don't you do
Geoff
it.
has been predicting a win in that game since January, Geoff. I think January. Yeah.
Yeah,
So,
something like that.
okay. Well, so check this out, guys. I did just a little bit of brief research today. Indiana is 6-0 for the first time since 1967. They're 18th in the AP poll, 20th in the coaches poll. I'm pretty sure coming into this season, they had it was either like the most losses or the biggest losing percentage of any college football program in the FBS. I think that's right. So they've really flipped the script. They've won every game this season by double digits. They're averaging more than 47 points per game. But what's more, I think everyone's seen these large numbers they've been putting up and assuming, wow, they really found something with that offense. Check out these defensive numbers. 14th nationally in scoring defense, 8th in rushing defense, 25th in passing defense, and 7th nationally in total defense. Like, this appears to be an extremely well-rounded, good team. They haven't played, you know, that their strength of schedule's been pretty weak, I think one could argue. But Evan, what have you seen, or have you gotten there yet? But what have you seen? Kurt Cignetti came in from James Madison. He's won everywhere he's been, but James Madison was sort of the biggest level program he had been at as a head coach, anyway. He was on. Interestingly, he was a wide receivers coach and recruiting coordinator for Saban's. Like, Saban hired him right away at Alabama, and he was on some of those early national championship staffs, which is kind of interesting. But
Right.
anyway, Evan, go ahead.
No, well, first of all, you mentioned the schedule. Here are the teams they played: FIU, Western Illinois, UCLA, Charlotte, Maryland, and Northwestern. So they've played three of the worst teams in the Big Ten, not named Purdue, and had a really soft non-con. And to their credit, like, that's what you want to do with a program that hasn't experienced success. You want to build up that confidence. You want to, it's of value for Indiana to score 77 points against
Yes.
Western Illinois. That's not the case for every program. It would not be the case for Nebraska, but it is for Indiana, because that gets the dialogue going in Bloomington. That starts to get the natives to believe a little bit. So I think you got to credit them for the schedule in the non-con. You say, hey, I think they got pretty fortunate with who they played in the Big Ten, but they've dominated those teams to this point. So really, from an Indiana perspective, this is the first game in Nebraska where they're actually challenged, or going to be challenged. And you look at the rest of their schedule. Washington's on there. They play Michigan and Ohio State consecutively, but they also still play Purdue and Michigan State. So this is a team that can win 9 games this year. They're absolutely going to be in the conversation for the 12-team CFP. So it's a fascinating game, because I don't think people still really know what to make of Indiana. They haven't beaten themselves. I think Kurt Cignetti, I hung out around him at Big Ten Media Days in July and wrote a piece, and I mean, he's just a very colorful guy. Like, he's the only guy I've known that's sworn on the main podium that's televised by BTN unprompted. And, you know, that's just kind of who he is. And he's a guy who's coached at the lower levels, dominated at the lower levels. This is his big chance that he's getting. He's in his early 60s. And I think, yeah, we all know people like this. Maybe it's our parents, or people of that generation, where it's just like, you get to a certain point in your career and you're like, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to, you know, like, what are you going to do? Well, I'm too old to care about, like, the long-term ramifications. So he's coming in, and he raided the portal and brought a bunch of his guys from James Madison and said, this is how we're going to do it. I don't care about how the Big Ten necessarily does it. He's not afraid to call out Ohio State and Michigan. So he's got some belief going, and some swag going. And so this thing being a big noon kickoff on Fox, 11 o'clock Central, I think it's going to be a ton of fun. Nebraska hasn't been back there in 8 years. You know, I think both teams are going to be challenged in ways that they haven't been to this point. And, you know, I think it'll be more of a shootout maybe than what Nebraska's had too. It feels like more of a first to 30 sort of wins this game. I don't think 14 points is going to cut it this week.
Well, Cignetti's very confident. He's very brash. You know, I love your example of him swearing at the podium. I'm just going to say this right now, because it's come up a couple times, and I'm not going to get another chance to say it. But I did in the off season. I called him out as being Mo Green, the character from The Godfather, the original Godfather, because in The Godfather Part Two, Hyman Roth is talking about Mo Green. And he says, I knew Mo. I knew he was headstrong, talking loud, saying stupid things. And in the offseason, like, I went on a Big Ten show, not our show, and I said all of that. And I said, that's Kurt Cignetti, and he's Mo Green, and they're not going to be any good, and they've never been any good. And
Now they're
and yeah,
undefeated. That's a lot, DJ.
and you know, they shouldn't. I was offended that they were even trying in
Yeah, you didn't
football.
mention
Yeah,
that. You didn't say
I
that
said
too.
that too. So now they're 6-0, and they appear to be really good. So I think I was wrong on that one. I'm big enough to say that. I'll put that out
Good
there.
for
I'm big
you.
enough to say that. Yeah, thank you, Geoff. But This, I mean, who I think at the very least there was maybe a little bit of buzz around Cignetti. He did bring in a bunch of transfers. People thought, oh, he could have an impact at Indiana. I don't think anybody had this one circled in the
Well,
offseason as a problem for Nebraska.
and
Yeah, yeah.
some
Oh.
of it too, like we talked about the schedule, like who would have thought? I mean, when they came out with these schedules, I don't know if the Chip Kelly departure had even happened yet. Like you see that game on paper in the off season, it's like, oh, UCLA is gonna wax Indiana, or even Maryland. Like you're thinking, oh, Maryland's not too bad. They'll probably beat Indiana by 2 touchdowns. But just look at how things change, right? So Indiana, they're better than we thought they were going to be. Maryland, UCLA, probably worse than we thought they were going to be. It's just interesting how these teams and what we think of them changes over the course of just a few months, right?
Well, I think, yeah, Matty, oh, you're exactly right. And just looking at our schedule, same thing, right? I think nobody was really thinking about Indiana. Everybody saw that stretch of, I think it goes Ohio State, UCLA, then USC. And everybody thought, oh boy, well, UCLA, Chip Kelly coming to Lincoln. Like, no one, I don't think anyone was, I mean, knock on wood, saying this out loud, I'm chalking that up as a win now. Nobody was doing that in the
Or
offseason,
even
no?
you at like USC. I mean, a few weeks
Yeah.
ago, I'd been like, oh God, that's probably a loss for Nebraska. Now it's like, well, they've been pushed around by Michigan. They've been pushed around by Minnesota.
Around by
Like,
Minnesota.
I think we got a pretty decent shot going out to LA and perhaps getting a W. So, yeah,
Could
it's
have
crazy.
you. It's also evidence of how not this stuff not only is all, there's always surprises and things that we didn't expect, but it also shifts throughout the season, right?
Well,
Yeah.
it's a reminder that like in this era of NIL and the portal, there's just more parity. Like, who would have thought Vanderbilt would go and beat Alabama? Who would have, what I mean, last week there were what, six or seven top 25 teams that lost, most to unranked opponents. Like, and that because teams at the very top can't stockpile the top recruits anymore, just based on sending guys to the NFL. And if they do and they don't play, then they can still leave. And so it's you're seeing a spread of talent all over the place. You're seeing Indiana's a great example of that, where they were able to turn their roster around so quickly. And you're seeing it in the Big Ten. Like, if you were to tier the Big Ten right now, to me it's Ohio State, Oregon, maybe Penn State. I'm kind of its own little tier, and then you've got like 12 teams that are hard that could happen. Anyone could win on any given week, and then on the bottom you've got UCLA and Purdue and maybe Northwestern. But like the separation is so much smaller than it was. Think back to when Nebraska was winning 9 games a year under Bo Pelini. Northwestern didn't care about football. Minnesota didn't care about football. Purdue didn't care about football. Like, half the league didn't really care about football. And now everybody cares because everybody has resources and everybody's trying to be in the Super League. So, like, I think the way that we view a team like Indiana or Purdue or Minnesota or whomever, like, from what it was 15 years ago is not what it is now. And it's a whole heck of a lot harder to find any separation because everybody has the same resources that you do.
I listened to a show this morning on my morning drive, and they kind of said something similar to you, Evan, that the parity is just, it's just so spread out now because of NIL that like 9 through like 25, you could argue even like 5 through 25 is just anyone's game now. You just never know what's going to happen week to week. But who would have thought, thinking about looking back on what we thought of the schedule before and what we think about it now? I know, Evan, you had mentioned that you thought Colorado arguably was the most important game for the Huskers of the season. And now you could argue now that who would have thought that Indiana is probably one of the most important games of our season, because this is the game. This is the bowl game. This gets us to six. You know what I mean? So this win or non-win could have a big, big effect on where we go the rest of the season. So I think this might be, it astonishes me to say it, but the most important game that we have thus far is winning this game.
They're all the most important game, Jeff.
Go 1-0 every week.
That's
Yeah,
right.
I mean, it's you could, yes, it's a huge game. If they lost to Colorado, the tone's a lot different. I mean, then this game doesn't have the stakes that it does. But I mean, that's the fun of it, right? Like, the more that you win, the higher the stakes become the next week. And maybe Nebraska, if they win this week or against Indiana, they're going to have a little number next to their name next week. That's just how it's going to be. And then that Ohio State game becomes interesting, and you've got the streak on the line against Wisconsin later in the year, and you know, at USC, and I like, it's just, there's a ton of fun stuff coming, and I think that's the coolest thing for Husker fans is, like, the last 7 years, it's been October has been the big month. And hey, are they for real? And the answer is inevitably no. And then you kind of play out the string in November. If they have a good, successful October this time, man, you're playing for high stakes stuff in November. I mean, you're talking about
Yeah.
bowl positioning, maybe being in, you know, the CFP rankings will be out later this month. Nebraska hasn't cared about those ever. Not, I mean, not in 8 years. It hasn't been relevant to the
No.
fan discussion. So, yeah, I mean, it's fun, right? Like,
Exciting.
the more they win, the higher stakes the next game becomes.
Evan, have you gotten a sense in, I know, you know, it's probably be a little bit less coach access this week, but I know you did talk to Coach Rule. Or, you know, have you gotten a sense from anybody like how they might go about attacking this Indiana team? Do you think, you know, you mentioned it being a shootout. Do the boys in red, well, they're both in red. Do the big red, the Huskers, do we try to Big Ten them a little bit? Do we try to hold the ball and slow it down? I assume getting to the quarterback will be pretty important. Like any thoughts or early sort of tips or keys to victory here?
Well, I mean, Matt Rhule didn't get into it this week. They kind of have a self-evaluation week, and I think they'll really dive into that next week. But yeah, it's such a fascinating game because you can look at the numbers Indiana's put up, and like we said, they've done it against competition that isn't what Nebraska is. It's just been a level below that. So are they able to continue it? I think some of that comes back to confidence, like, the fact that Indiana's 6-0, in their heads, they're unbeatable, and there's value in that, in how they're going to play and how they're going to go about their business. I think if you're Nebraska, you do what you do. This is not like what Nebraska called Rutgers, sort of a big body game. So you had guys like Riley Van Poppel and some of your bigger defensive linemen in there because Rutgers wants to run and be physical. This next game for Nebraska is going to be more about speed and guys who are able to cover. You know, so it's going to test Nebraska, I think, in a different way. The pass rush is going to be a little bit more of a factor. And maybe it's to the game where Nebraska opens things up for Dylan Raiola and the offense a little bit more. Obviously, if you can run and you're able to run, you do that. But I think a year ago, if they fall behind, man, how are you going to generate those points? Right now, I think they feel pretty confident in saying, "Hey, let's get the ball to Nayor or to Banks or to Fidone or to Barney." Or, I mean, you can name 7 or 8 guys that they'd like to get the ball to. He said on Monday, "Hey, it'd be great to get Heinrich Harburg the ball more, but it's hard to have enough touches to go around." So, I think Nebraska's comfortable in a shootout. The Blackshirts would tell you that's irrelevant. They're gonna, you know, do their business and make sure it's not. But I still think it's going to be a game. It's not going to be a 14-7 kind of game. It's not going to be a scoreless at halftime kind of game. I think it's going to be one, you know, again, where maybe it's going to come down to a big turnover or explosive play here or there. But to me, it really is, hey, who can get to 30? And I think if Nebraska can do that with the way the defense has played, they have to feel pretty good about their chances.
Indiana's going to do what they do until they get smacked in the mouth by Ty
That's
Robinson
right.
and the polar bear.
That's
All
right.
right. Then they're going to be like, oh, we're in for a dogfight here.
Yeah, there goes that irrational confidence that Indiana has right now. You just smack them right in the mouth.
Smack it right
Yeah.
out of
And
them
then they
early.
go, wait a minute. Nobody's hit us like that yet this year.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, could
That's
be.
exactly right. Would love to see the defense kind of put a stranglehold on that offense. But
Yes.
well. Let's zoom out a little bit. The Huskers, we kind of talked about some of this, but we're second year in a row, I think, where the bye week, and they have 2 bye weeks this year, which I think works out well with a young quarterback and all that. But second year in a row where we have a bye week right at the half, like the midway point. We play 6 games and then a bye week, which feels right. It feels, I'm sure that's like about right for the team, right? But Nebraska's 5-1. This is our best start since 2016. just we're essentially number 27, where others receiving votes, and we're two teams out of the top 25. I think generally speaking, despite what some of the chatter we see on social media, I would have to imagine 90, 95% of the fan base is pretty happy with where things are. Evan, what are some of your what like big picture takeaways from the first half of the season? Like where can just kind of where is this program halfway through year two of the Matt Rhule era?
Well, I kind of like to start by thinking about what was the perception coming into the season and then what's changed the most. And so, one of the big points of emphasis, and it's internally as much as it's been talked about externally, has been the turnover margin. And Nebraska has yet to lose the turnover margin this year. They had a tie and they've won every other week. And so, you can't overstate what that means when you had 31 giveaways as an offense last year. I mean, just ridiculous numbers that held them back, and they still somehow finished 5-7. And you look at what the offense has done now. Dante Dowdell has a fumble in the opener. That's the only fumble Nebraska's lost all season, knock on wood. Dylan Raiola's had two 50-50 deep balls picked off when the defensive backs ripped it away from the receiver. And he finally had his first, what you called true, maybe deserved interception against Rutgers this year. So, like, that to me is where you start. And, like, from an explosive perspective, they have their moments, but they're really not that much better than they were ago, a year ago, but they're light years ahead of where they were with the turnover. So, I think that to me, that's one of the first stories of why this team is where it's at. Defensively, they've been able to generate takeaways as well with a few strip sacks, interceptions. They had a couple more against Rutgers as well. The pick six against Purdue that kind of sealed it from John Bullock. So I start there, and I think the defense has been what everyone expected it to be. Yeah, it got a little bit dicey with Illinois with some self-inflicted wounds, but there's depth there. They haven't struggled much against the run of late. The secondary has been really good, highlighted by Sierre Wright and him coming on. He might be one of the best portal additions in the country if he continues to do what he's done. And then special teams was a question mark coming in. It's still a question mark. They haven't figured out place kicker yet. Obviously, the punting operation's been erratic at best. And so, I think they're ahead probably of where they hoped to be. But this to me, this is not like a conventional year two where you're like, hey, this is the second year for a coach, you're building towards something. This is a veteran defense. This is a veteran offensive line. They brought in senior skill players on offense to win now. So I think there's an urgency there. I think they're playing with that urgency. And yeah, their quarterback's a freshman, but he's getting better most every week, maybe with an exception of this past week. So I give Nebraska a solid B plus for what it's done to this point. Yeah, I'm sure they ache to have that Illinois game back, but they're in every game. They've shed a lot of these demons in recent weeks, especially related to one score games. And I think they've done enough again to make the second half of the season exciting and not just sort of playing out the string or dreading trying to avoid a blowout against a better brand name.
It certainly has a different feel, that's for sure. Just the positive vibe and the energy this season. I mean, yeah, first year head coach last year, there was a lot of positivity, but overall, as a season and the way things have panned out, it definitely has a different feel to it, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think it's, I mean, like TJ said, probably 95% of Husker fans are like rowing the boat in the same direction, right? So that's
Don't
there's
say
just
row the boat.
general.
Yeah, did you have to say row the boat?
I'm just trying to think of an expression. We're all going the same way, guys.
We love you, Matt. We
You
love
know, I'm not a PJ Fleck apologist.
you.
No, but everybody feels good about, the trajectory of the program, about Matt Rhule. Like, we've watched Chasing Three and seen what he's like in the locker room, firing the guys up. But then he's not just, it doesn't seem like he's just a motivator. Like, he's got a good staff around him that seems to be really developing these kids, and they're improving. And then, like Evan just said, we made some pretty good portal additions, and here we go. Here we go. The back half of the season awaits, boys.
So, what do you guys think? We have to talk about this, but like, where, what, Takeaways about Dylan Raiola 6 games in.
Stud.
I mean, he's
The
good.
Rutgers game has not changed my opinions on him. You see some of the dumbest stuff on Twitter, and it's just like, really? Are you kidding me? Like,
yeah.
Number one, he's facing arguably the best defense he's played. I mean, Illinois'
Yes.
defense is pretty good, but like I said in the recap the other day, I think Rutgers is going to win 8 or 9 games. If you look at their schedule, I mean, it looks like 8 or 9 to me. And then you throw in like the really just weird weather day,
windy,
like the swirling
dude.
Winds. And I think I saw somewhere where they said Schiano's defense, I don't know who Schiano's defensive coordinator is, but they were throwing some different looks out there that Dylan really wasn't expecting. And I mean, he's a freshman, right? Like,
yeah.
But he still made enough good throws when we needed them. That, and like Evan said, like if that's Dylan's floor, like holy shit, like we're in pretty good shape, boys. If that's the worst he's gonna play, then we're okay. We're okay.
Yeah, I mean the arm talent's been there. He's looked like a former five-star prospect. The reads have been good. One thing that's struck me has been listening to the coaches who are about to play against Nebraska to this point, and they all gush over Raiola and what he's done and his ability to read defenses and to make the correct throws and make them accurately. And like, you've never heard that about Nebraska. In the past, it was always, well, they have a running quarterback, and so we have to account for that and how we, structure our run defense and that sort of thing. And now it's like, yeah, this guy's a dude and everybody wanted him. And so like, I put that in pretty high regard when opposing coaches go out of their way to talk
him.
about that kind of guy, quality in a guy. And, he's lived up to it for the most part. The deep balls are things of beauty, deep those, just the way he has touch and almost, just this high level of confidence that he's going to be able to throw a ball over a linebacker to a receiver just behind him.
Yes.
Like
that's
really
that
hard to do.
Multiple times. Yeah.
That's hard to do. It takes a ton of confidence. He's done that really well. And I think this bye week comes at a good time for him. I mean, he kind of could tell he got banged up a little bit against Rutgers. They hit him a few times. So this is well timed for him, kind of get his bearings back. But he's been what everyone thought he would be. He's going to get better as his career goes on. But right now, like as I kind of said before the season, at worst, if he's a talented game manager who gets the ball to his skill players in space and doesn't turn it over, Nebraska has a really good chance to win with what they are doing on defense. And if special teams can kind of figure it out a little bit. So I think he's doing exactly what Nebraska wants him to do right now. He's solid, occasionally dazzling, and he's getting better every week.
I agree. How is it? I think he exceeded my expectations. Like I knew that with him being a freshman, I thought maybe we'd see some glimmers of hope, but I wasn't expecting anything huge, but he's definitely gone above and beyond what I thought he was going to do already this year, with the exception of a few things in the Rutgers game. I think he's been phenomenal.
It's really exciting. I mean, the future's bright with him, and it's just really exciting to think, like you said, Evan, he's just going to get better and better. And, and we won't look too far ahead to next season yet, but like, I think there's a lot of reason for excitement here. Any surprises about this Husker team through the first 6 games for any of you guys?
Other than I think Dylan is better than we expected. Jeff just kind of said that. Surprises. I don't know. Not really.
I thought we would run the ball a little better. Maybe not like a shocker, but and we've talked about this many times. We are not run the ball like the 90s guys. We're not begging for the triple option to come back.
No.
But and also you've got these playmakers, you've got Dylan Raiola, you have to utilize them. But they continue, we've talked about this many times, they continue to talk about wanting to be a bruising team, wanting, Evan, I think you've brought up almost every week, they talk about wanting to have 75 rushing yards in the fourth quarter. Have we ever done that? Like, you know,
They
they
came close against Purdue, or did they hit
did
it
it against
against
Purdue.
Purdue? They did against Purdue. Okay.
I mean, see, I think
So
like they
I don't know.
show.
And maybe like, maybe, I don't know. I always have that metric of 200 yards rushing in my head as like the more than that or more is good, below that is bad. And maybe that's not totally fair. Maybe that's overly simplified, but I don't know that we've reached that one. Well, yeah, I'm sure we have against UTEP or
They
somebody,
show
but like we don't, we're
like
not doing it
these,
consistently.
they show these flashes, right, of being able to be that kind of team. But
Yeah.
then just like it's in it like seems like, again, I have nothing to back this up, but it seems like they get that going and then they just like stop. Like it's like they just say, okay, we've run it
Or they
enough
go away from it. Yeah.
now let's throw it three, four times in a row. And it's
Yeah.
like, no, wait a minute. Dowdell was getting 5 and 6 yards a pop, three plays in a row, first down, we're moving the ball, and then you're gonna throw on first down, throw on second down, throw on third down. Three incomplete passes, now we're punting. Like I don't know. It seems like there could be a little bit more commitment to it. Like, and I know you've got the stud quarterback and you want to show him off. You know, you don't buy the Bentley to leave it in the garage, right? You want to show off Dylan Raiola
Yeah.
and what he can do. But he'll be even more successful if we can run the ball really well. You know, it's just kind of like get running the ball going, and then he's been pretty good off play action, and
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hey, just a fun exercise. So, when you say that, what would your guess be on how many times against Rutgers Nebraska ran versus passed?
Okay, so I was going to say it felt like we tried to pound the rock against Rutgers more than we have all season. I'm just not sure. I felt like we were pretty inconsistent at doing it. Okay, Evan, I would say 58, 42 percentage wise, rush to pass.
I have no idea. Don't ask me.
They attempted 42 rushes and 28 passes. So it was almost a 2-1,
Wow.
but it didn't look like maybe everyone was hoping it would look. And I
Yeah,
think
right,
that's kind of what it came
exactly.
down to. So like the second half, you know, they didn't get the run game going, but they did run the ball and
Yeah.
that killed clock and that allowed the defense to do what it did, and it allowed Nebraska to get to the fourth quarter where they had the wind. And so, like, sometimes it's not all that effective, but it's a means to an end as you're playing complementary football. And when you have a really good defense, it does allow you to do that a little bit more. Nebraska had that luxury because they were ahead. They won't necessarily if they're losing in the next 2 weeks. So it's an
Yeah.
interesting conversation. I know Marcus Satterfield has a sweet tooth for the long ball. The
Yes.
deep pass, like he, I think in his heart of hearts, he would prefer to do that. But in the Big Ten, and you know, the blueprint to winning is not shootouts. The blueprint to winning is time of possession, protecting your defense, running the ball, because that's the most reliable thing you can do in the snow and the wind and the elements that come about. So I think they're still working through that. But I would say the way that they managed the wind with the coin toss and when they took it was a step forward from what Nebraska's done in terms of just kind of winning in a Big Ten-ish kind of way. It's not always pretty. It's not always monster yards, but I do think, especially against Rutgers, they've made a concerted effort to run the ball more, and that was part of just that complementary style of victory.
So that's a fair point, Evan. I think
Yeah.
what's frustrating to build on that, what's frustrating from my perspective is it feels like it's been a combination of inconsistency with that commitment, what maybe hasn't been there that much as it was against Rutgers, and then also inconsistency of effectiveness, basically, like it not being as super, maybe as effective as we thought they would. And I think also maybe thinking that having all these playmakers and the threat of the pass game would open up the run game a little bit more. So we don't have to beat the horse dead, but
Well,
that.
and again, at least against Rutgers, it was another game where like the sack adjusted like rushing yards. Like you look at the team stats, and it's like Nebraska had like 70 yards rushing, but there was four sacks. So take off like, I don't know, it was 30, 35, 40 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at it, Dowdell had 4.1 per carry, Ramir 6.8. I think the where like we kind of felt like it didn't seem like as much was because Emmett Johnson carried 14 times for just 33 yards. That's
Yeah.
2.4 a pop. Where we thought he was taking over the
It's
backfield.
turning the corner. Yeah. After Purdue. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
So,
All right. So what do you got? What is the ceiling for this team? What do you guys think? It 5-1. Everything. Look,
It's 11 and 1, TJ. 11 and 1's the ceiling.
We were talking about this.
As Bo Pelini used to say, everything's still out there for this team. Everything's still out there that we want to accomplish, right? I mean, Husker fans can go to bed during the bye week and they can have visions of contending for the Big Ten title dancing in their heads, and they can have visions of college football playoffs dancing in their head because those things are all still out there. They're all still
Yeah.
possible. Even with a loss to Ohio State, and I won't pontificate on outcomes of any other games, but even with a loss to Ohio State, that could still be possible depending on how things play out with other games. So, like with a dose of realism, obviously the ceiling, yes, thank you. The ceiling is 11-1 if we were to win our last six games. Thank you, gentlemen. But with a dose of real, like, what do we think? We throw in everything we've seen, we throw it into the blender. The special teams performance, the elite defense, the offense that's been good, definitely better than last year, but a little more inconsistent. And then mix in the fact that the schedule gets a lot tougher in the second half with a really good Indiana team, an excellent Ohio State team, and then Iowa and Wisconsin, USC, who's a borderline top 25 team, and then Iowa and Wisconsin are never, you can never take those, you know, they both appear to be like beatable this year. They don't appear to be their maybe their best teams in the last 4 or 5 years, but the Husker fans know better than to just chalk those up as victories. So putting all that kind of into the mash, what do we think is kind of a what comes out the other end?
Like, what do we think the
Yeah,
final
final
record would be?
record, or what are we playing for? What are we playing
I think
for going into November? Like, you know.
if they go 500 the rest of the way out, I'll be thrilled. I think they
So it'd be
could
eight and
win.
four. That'd be 8-4. Yeah.
That'd be 8-4. I mean, I think they could win 9, right?
I'm gonna say 9 because we're gonna pick off that Ohio State game. So nine
But
and three is playing.
if you go game by game and look at it, okay, well, let's say. I mean, they could realistically, they couldn't. Let's say things don't go well. We lose at Indiana. And then we go lose at Ohio State.
Suddenly we're five
That's
and
They're
three, just like
five
we
and
were last
three.
year. Yeah.
They're 5-3. That's a turning point. What
Into
happens after
November.
that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and
Anyway.
then that, I think that's why, this is why
Just knocked on wood.
Jeff, your point about the Indiana game being so important
Gotta
is
win that one.
really true, right? If you win that, and then again, let's just say Ohio State's a loss just for the sake of conversation, you're 6-2, but then you bounce right back with a pretty bad UCLA team.
Yeah.
Like, it's not totally insane to think we could be 7-2 going into USC, Wisconsin, and Iowa.
And you play
And then,
different. I feel
like,
like you get that bowl game monkey off your back. I feel like you just play differently because you're not worrying about that anymore. Yeah, that's something you've taken care of.
And I mean,
So,
suddenly you see it, USC looks human, like you said, Matty O. Suddenly, as
yeah.
compared to a few weeks ago, they look human.
Welcome to the Big
Wisconsin,
Ten.
Wisconsin has not, I mean, I know they scored 52 points against Purdue, but other than that, they have not looked great. Iowa's Iowa. That's always going to be a
But
coin
Evan
flip for
called it.
Nebraska.
Evan said, there's a chance that Purdue might just like give up. Or that was I'm putting words in your mouth, Evan, but
Yeah.
didn't you say
Said
that
one
kind of like if
eleven.
yeah.
111 is very much in play for that team.
I think
Yeah.
so. Yeah. Yikes.
So anyway, so I, you know, again, that I think that's what, look, do I think this Husker team is a playoff team? No, not really. But when you go through it and you say there's like Indiana's favored by 3.5, Nebraska can win that game. Nebraska can absolutely win that game. When you think about Nebraska could win that and UCLA, neither of those things are crazy, right? And suddenly,
Yeah.
even factoring in a loss to Ohio State, again, imagine being 7-2 and ranked going into the final three games of the year. When was the last time Husker fans, you know, got to play in meaningful games like that? Like you said, Evan, this is the fun part. This is what happens when you win, right? And so that's, you know, I don't know. I think, you know, 8-4, 9-3 is, you know, is probably like we get one of those games people don't think we're going to get, and you know, maybe we're 9-3. And how thrilled would Husker fans be with 9-3?
Yeah. Well, they, I mean, they probably, they would have to get one of those games where we didn't think they would get to, I think to get to 9-3. I don't know if I'm ready to call Indiana one of those yet, though. Like, I'm looking at ESPN's, FPI, and that's like 75% that Indiana's going to win that game. And I'm like, that seems high.
Yeah, that's
Like
they're in the tank.
they
They're in the
gave
tank for the
Rutgers a
SEC.
33-34% chance to win here last week. And I wondered what they gave all the unranked teams that won last week. What were
Right.
their chances?
Well,
Like, so
that's
I
a,
know it's like
who knows what
whatever.
goes into that formula, but yeah.
Right.
All
That's why
right.
that Ohio State game is looking, I'm just salivating for that. All these upsets, that's looking more and more pretty to me.
That would
I can't
be.
wait for it to, I can't wait for it to happen. It's gonna be awesome.
Evan, what do you think about this whole delusional fan conversation, Evan?
Well, I'll give you a couple of thoughts. First of all, you look at the second half. I like to maybe just start with, hey, how many of these games are Nebraska going to be favored in? The Indiana line will be really interesting. I don't think they'll be favored, but it should be close. They're going to be favored against UCLA.
There was one out today, at least. It was Indiana favored by 3.5. Sorry, Evan, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, that makes sense. They'll be favored against UCLA. I think they'll be favored against Wisconsin in Lincoln.
Yeah.
At Iowa, it should be a toss-up kind of game. USC will be tough, but that's the team that's right ahead of Nebraska receiving votes in the AP poll. So nationally, the perception is they're essentially even there. So a lot of brand names, a lot of teams that Nebraska's struggled against in the recent past, but I think just from a like a weekly point spread sort of outlook, these are all toss-up sort of games, and it comes down to a lot of the little stuff that we're talking about, playing four quarters and eliminating penalties and shoring up special teams and getting the run game going. Like all that kind of stuff is going to make the difference. And here's the other thing I would say when you talk about the ceiling is like look at, and we talked about this a little earlier with the top 25 and saying how teams 5 to 30, the difference is very minimal. So like you look at some of the teams in the CFP bubble watch right now. Like, is Nebraska really that much different than Iowa State? Is Nebraska really that much different than BYU or Utah or Kansas State? These are all top 20 teams that are in that mix. And so, like, I don't think Nebraska is demonstratively different than any of those teams. You have
Right.
to play clean and grow as the season goes and get some contributions from guys and avoid injuries. But, like, I predicted 8-4 before the season. I think that's very much in play, if not 9-3. And other than that, you're going to need a surprise. Maybe a surprise will come up. Maybe, a year ago, Nebraska found some unlikely contributors late in the year. James Williams was the guy who nobody had heard of at this time a year ago. Ja'Cory Barney's come on. Sierra Wright has been a revelation. Tommy Hill's coming back from injury, you would think in 2 weeks. So like I think in today's climate, like the ceiling is awfully high. How high? I don't know. Probably not 11-1, but higher than Nebraska's dared to dream for a while. And again, these next two games, if you lose them both, that tenor changes quite a bit. But as we stand here right now, like I just don't see all that big of a difference between Nebraska and some of these teams and even the top 15 right now.
Woo.
Love it. Love it.
Love it. Absolutely love it. All right, guys. Any final thoughts, questions, topic areas that maybe we failed to discuss?
What was what'd they have for food in the press box for the Rutgers game, Evan?
Yeah.
Was it Vals again?
Post game's always Vals.
Post game's always Vals.
The pregame is different. It was barbecued pork sandwiches, which were
Okay.
okay.
Yeah.
Some salad and oh, cheesy potatoes. That was the highlight.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
Not a big cheesy potatoes guy.
oh,
See,
shocker. What
the
the
thing about
hell,
cheesy
man?
potatoes, to me, the thing about cheesy potatoes is even if they're bad, like they're still decent.
Right.
Like
They're still just
there's
covered in
certain food
cheese.
that if it's not
Yeah.
made well, like it's just not good at all.
And the
Cheesy
cheese
potatoes
ties
is
it.
pretty safe. You talk
Yeah.
about a high floor, I think cheesy potatoes is right in that
What's
conversation.
your Jeff? What's your problem with cheesy
What?
potatoes?
I
What's
don't
your
know.
problem with America? Yeah.
All right, just back the hell. It just reminds me a lot of the potluck conversations we've had in the past. I have horrific memories of being a child at our family reunions. I feel like cheesy potatoes are always served at funerals. They just got a negative connotation around them. It drives me nuts.
Comfort food. Exactly.
Sounds
It's
to me like you were
delicious comfort
Nashville.
food. Yeah. Yeah. Evan, Jeff doesn't like potlucks, if you can believe
Oh,
that.
sounds to me like you were loved. That's what I'm
Yeah,
hearing.
exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Just
No
Jeff's
potlucks, no Snickers.
no casseroles. Get the casseroles the hell out of
Oh,
your
I love
town.
a good casserole.
Who said anything about a casserole, Jeff? All right. One programming note for the common fans. We are going to take a break next week from the view from the Bland Stands. Just a little bye week break. You know, the team's getting a bye week break. And so the view from the Bland Stands, we're getting a little break as well. And just, you know, resting our vocal cords and getting, you know, prepared for the second half of the season. So Evan, we will look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks. So I guess the next time we get together, you will have been in Bloomington, and we'll have a lot more to talk about. So, did you go? Yeah, because my recollection is last time we were there was 2016, and that was one of those 7 wins when Riley got to 7-0. I think we beat him 27-22. I don't know why that just popped in my head, but it was kind of one of those. You know, it felt a little closer than we thought it was going to be, but they, you know, hung on to win it at the end. Were you there for that one? Do you have much of a much many impressions of Bloomington?
So I started on the back on the beat in 2017. The next year, I've been to that stadium. I've not covered a game there. Everyone has reminded me that it's the steps in there, I guess, are very steep. Like they're much larger than regulation. So, you know, got to high knee it. I've been to Bloomington. Big Ten baseball tournament was there in 2017, so I spent a few days there. It has a fun downtown area. I think Nebraska fans will enjoy it. But yeah, it's weird. They haven't been back there in a long time. And there were years there where Nebraska was clamoring to play Indiana and it didn't happen.
Yeah,
Now they are
exactly.
playing them and they're pretty good. So it's a
They
nice,
start a lot.
what, 10-hour drive, or you can fly into Indianapolis and head over that way too. So should be fun. I think the weather will be decent, and you got to love the fact that it's a day game. At least I do.
Yeah, we played them 3 times since coming to the Big Ten. We beat them in 2016. We actually lost to them in 2019. And
Oh,
then we beat
that's
him.
right.
That was super frustrating. So we got it to like a 14-3 lead, I think. And then stuff started falling apart. And then we beat them again in 2022 in the Mickey Joseph year. It was 21-21 going into the fourth quarter. We beat them 35-21, if
Mickey's
anybody
first
remembers
win,
that.
I believe.
Yeah. That was one where like suddenly we beat Indiana and Rutgers in two kind of like ugly Big Ten games.
And
And
everybody wanted
everybody was
Mickey to
like,
be the head
whoa, like
coach.
we're going to go on a run here in the Big Ten. This is
Hey,
great.
quick trivia. Can you tell me who Indiana's offensive coordinator was in 2019 when they came to Lincoln and won?
Oh man, that was so. Tom Allen was the head coach.
It's a notable
Yes.
name. I don't remember.
Yeah.
He's
What do you got?
currently Alabama's head coach. Kellen
Whoa,
DeBoer
Kalen DeBoer.
was
No
the
way.
OC for that Indiana
Really?
team. He was the power behind that team. Yep.
So then, where did he
Wow.
go? Where did he go? He went to Washington after that, or where didn't he go coach somewhere before Washington?
Then he was Fresno State, and then
Okay.
Washington and Alabama. So he was his
Wow.
star was ascending quickly at that
Yeah.
time.
Another
That's
fun
fresh.
fact I'll throw in here. DeBoer used to coach Sioux Falls, an NAIA team, and a childhood friend and high school classmate of ours, a high school football teammate of mine, played for him at Sioux Falls and won a national championship for Kalen DeBoer.
Shout out to Luke, friend of the
Shout out to
program.
Corky. He's a common fan. He listens. He listens to the program. So
Yeah,
we
and he
love you.
played.
We love
He
you.
did play. That's right. I remember when.
Job,
Yeah, he
Luke.
did play for Kalen DeBoer, and there's probably something of that Luke experience that led to the loss to Vandy. That was like still stuck with Kalen DeBoer, whether he knew it or not. You know, and
Hey,
then but.
and Tim Beck. I didn't know this when it happened the other day, but Tim Beck is the offensive coordinator for Vanderbilt. So good for Coach Beck.
It's the
Yeah.
circle of life. It all comes back to
Yeah.
Nebraska.
You coach long
Up
enough,
it.
you're gonna have a moment in the sun, baby.
Up and down and around.
Kalen DeBoer coached games at Nebraska Wesleyan, Concordia, Doan. Like that's
Yep.
where he made his bones. So who knew? Kind of a
Yeah,
fun fact.
it took a while, but yeah, then his rise was pretty meteoric once he got into the to big time college football. So all right, guys. Thanks as always to Evan Bland, friend of the program. Evan, we're loving doing this with you this season.
Fun.
Hopefully,
Me too.
the common fans are enjoying the view from the Bland Stands, but it's really a nice kind of midweek check-in on all that's going on with Husker football and the game that has been and the game that will be and all the other things that are going on. So thoroughly enjoyable. Appreciate you spending the time with us. All right, I think that's it, Common Fans. Go to cpbeef.com, promo code Common Fan for 25% off. Check out our website, commonfan.co, and come hang out with us at our tailgate, November 2nd, UCLA game, Lot 10. More information to come. Huskers, have a bye week. Enjoy the bye week. Get all your stuff done this weekend because we need everybody dialed in for that Indiana game. Even though it's an away game, everybody's got a part to play. Thanks as always for listening, Common Fans. In the meantime, GBR for life.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.